people that know me now don't know me as the one I was then. They see a new creature in me. They see a new attitude in me. They see something in me that shows that I'm a different individual. And today I love people. I love to help people. I don't even care about what I get in my own life. If it could help you, I'm ready to let you have it so that you could grow. But all of this love inside of me has not grown because I put off what needed to be different. That love in me has grown because I'm willing to let God take what is broken in me and make me to be stronger than I could be on my own. Marriages are falling apart when they shouldn't, because there's not enough love in their hearts of God. Families are falling to pieces because they're too broken for God to be able to use them to fix it. Churches are diminishing today because we're not standing and being established long enough to be able to help somebody when God would send them in. I'm here to tell you, I'm here to wake you up tonight. I'm here to give you the reality of the situation. You're not here just for you. You're here for somebody else. You're here to be a blessing to somebody. You're here to help people find Jesus Christ. You're here to show that Jesus Christ is alive in you. But one thing I've learned, my friend, I can't take your broken pieces and make sense of it. I can't take your pain and say enough words of comfort that it will leave you. How many of you admit that you hurt and you feel bad? Somebody show somebody a hand in the house of God. How many of you admit that from time to time you have bad days? I do. But you can't learn to have good days until you learn to let God be with you in the bad days. You can't grow and prosper and be happy in God until you learn to give Him that which troubles you. We cannot keep coming in the same way and letting the devil persuade us that what we're doing is making a difference or not. We have to stop listening to what Satan is trying to tell us, because chances are all he's trying to do is keep you from giving God your brokenness. So tonight I'm here to be a living example. Here's the truth. I'm broken. I'm rejected. I'm persecuted. I'm messed with. I'm bullied. I'm spoken ill about. People look at me funny. People talk about me. People make me feel like what I do doesn't mean anything at all. I've been mocked in my face. I've been made fun of. I've been told that I'll never amount to anything. My life, as it stands on its own, is nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Our righteousness is the best we could do is like a filthy rag. Oh, but I'm glad to say that I'm redeemed. I'm glad to say that I'm blood bought. I'm glad to say that I'm not alone. I'm glad to say that I have a Savior. I'm glad to say that I have a refuge. I'm glad to say that He is with me every day. I'm glad to say that when people come against me, that He is my friend that I lean on. I'm glad to say that when I'm in lack, that He supplies my need. I'm glad to know that when all hell would break loose and come against me, that my God is still by my side. I'm glad that I am not alone. I'm glad that I have a Savior. This is the kind of word that should cause you to drop your guard and come alive. But as even when somebody will tell you a good thing, your walls are up so high, you can't hear nothing going on. I'll tell you right now that as you build sin in your life, it is like a deafener to the Word of God. The Bible talks about what we need to do in order to be able to hear better, to repent. Don't let the sun go on your wrath. To also repent is to confess. So if you want to live today and act like you've got no problems, I wish you the best of luck. You want to come in and not worship and not enjoy yourself because somebody's going to bother you? Good luck with that.
You want to come in and pretend like that you're fully established, you don't need to do anything to be a child of the King? You go ahead. You just do what you got to do. But let me tell you, the day's going to come when we're not going to have enough of an income to survive. The day is going to come when the darkness is so great in others that family will take the life of family. We're going to live in a day where that people will show no mercy when they would have shown mercy before. We're entering to the days where the government is compromising to what Satan would have it to do. So if you're going to stand and survive, we have to give God our broken pieces. My question to you is, from one human being that's going to go home and suffer like everybody else, is how willing are you to let it go? Can I be willing to ask you, what is it worth to you to keep it? Is it worth it to you to hold on to the fact that nobody cares? More worth than to know that God does? Is it of worth to you to keep the fact that you have the right to be angry with someone? More worth the fact that you could forgive them and be free from that bondage? Is it worth keeping our pride to make people believe that we're strong enough to endure all things? Worth more than actually being able to get through something and not pretend? I don't want to be a church of the pretenders. I don't want to be the church of the pretenders that believes everything's perfect. Because you might try to fool everybody else, but friend, you ain't fooling me. I know that you deal with stuff just like I do. I was walking today as I was moving from the computer when I got through reading. As I moved over to the piano, I stubbed my toe on the way there. And not just a casual stub either. It was one of those that made me do the, oh, God. I'm telling you, just like we preached Friday, you can be in the middle of doing something good, and Satan's going to come and mess your stuff up. Because if he can get you just to focus on your brokenness, dwell on your brokenness, let me tell you what broken things do. They cut people. God said he would not have you to have spot nor blemish. You know what that means? He didn't want you to have sharp edges. He didn't want you to be so easily afflicted by things. He doesn't want you to be so easily bothered when other people get bothered. He doesn't want you to panic and get shook up when other people don't know what's going on. I've had people call me on the phone and be in utter panic about something, and I just begin to pray. And they're still in the middle of trying to tell me what's happening. Their voice is elevated. Their heart rate's up, no doubt about it, and they're communicating just what's bothering them, but I'm just praying. And then all of a sudden, the only thing I know to tell them is begin to pray with me and let this go. God's got it in control. And I cannot count the number of times where I have seen God move and take away the sharp edges of people. I've seen him save the coldest, most hateful people and make them to somebody that he could love and use. I've seen him pull people out of the fire that were on their deathbed, that didn't have a hope in the world, and he still saved them and gave them eternal life. I don't want my broken pieces to cut others. I don't want my disgust with life. I feel this right now. I don't want my disgust with life to keep me from being an active, happy Christian. I don't want my sharp edges to show me as someone short-fused and not able to help someone bear something. My family has told me about things that's going on, of things coming against different ones. And when others would be upset and frustrated at one level, God can keep you steady hand. He can cause you in the middle of turmoil to still hold on by faith. Because I'm here to tell you, he can't use a church to save the world if all we are is broken pieces. Nobody walks on broken glass. Nobody tries to pick up a bottle that's broken. Such is the same. People need something that when they get a hold of it, they can trust it. He wants a whole bottle for them to grab. He wants them to have a whole vessel to use. It's great if we accomplish a lot in this church, but it doesn't profit if we only go 90% of the way, because that 10% still has some sharp edges, if you will. If you want to be effective in the ministry, some of you are called. You may not want to admit it. You may not want to tell anybody, but bless God, you're called. And you can't let those sharp things that you've got to deal with on a daily basis keep you from being effective in the ministry. Paul even tried to pray about those last little bits in his life that needed to go. But there was something that had to remain in him, right? A thorn in his side, right? You know what that means? Even when you do your best to serve God, there still will be things that you must deal with. Look over at somebody and nod and say, yep. There's going to be things you're still going to have to deal with. Let's do one more yep. There's going to be some things that we've got to deal with. We've got to clean up. We've got to get put back together the right way, done the right way, established in the right love, done in the way that God wants it. And guess what? Make sure you tell somebody this so they know. Say, it's not easy. But make sure you let them know through Christ you can do it. Easy blessings come just because God loves you. But miracles come from people who do great things. If you want to move mountains, you want miracles, you've got to stop living with broken pieces. Somebody say amen, brother. Because what I'm talking about tonight has nothing to do with this church service. In fact, God was moving so great tonight, when people don't get in, when it's moving like that, it's their own fault. I'm not talking about church tonight. You know what I'm talking about? Tomorrow. I'm talking about Tuesday. I'm talking about every day that you're not at the church, not at the program, not in the presence of people dressed in your cute little outfit, not here bringing your Bible with your nice little label on the side of it with your name wrote inside. How many of you remember the ones that have the birth records, death records, family trees, all that good stuff on the front? Then you go to the back and it had all the cool maps that you'd be looking at to try to act like you were paying attention to the preacher while he's preaching. And you're like, I never knew the Indian River and Brandon down through there. Come in with our Bibles and act like that we've got everything put together. But I'm here to tell you, God's already showed it to me in me, and I'm here to expose your reality. None of us got it together, and unless we come together in His presence, we'll never amount to anything other than being just like everybody else. I'm tired of being like everybody else. I'm tired of being a Christian that's lukewarm. I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to make a difference. And if you want to stay broken, that's your choice. But it's time that we become something that when people see it, they get saved off of it. Oh, I feel His presence. I'm just going to have me a praise break. You can sit there and look at me if you want, but I'm going to praise Him. Woo! Oh, my God. I'm going to do something different. If you don't want to help anybody, oh, and only help yourself, I'm here to tell you, you've missed the boat. God didn't save you for you to walk around with only your stuff. He wants you to take your stuff and pour it out to somebody so that when they see it, they come alive in the name of Jesus. Look over somebody and tell them, if you're not pouring out, you're missing out. Tell two other people, if you're not pouring out, you're missing out. If you let a bottle of water sit in the sun and let the heat get on it, when you go to drink it the next day, it's got a bitter taste in it. Ooh. And if you're going to sit there and neglect and quench the Spirit, then when you go to try to do a good thing, it's going to be so bitter nobody can enjoy it. My God, my God, my God, my God. If you're going to wait to only praise Him when it's somebody that you know, you've done missed the boat. My God, then when you go to get up and praise just because you know somebody, it's not going to mean as much as if you praised Him and come together with people that you didn't even know. I want you to get a hold of that. Look over and tell one more person, if you don't pour out, you're missing out. I'm going to go as bold as this tonight. You should be at least praying 365 times a year. Oh yeah, I'm going there. Because I'm so tired of carrying your junk. And I'm not going to anymore. I'll help you pray to get rid of it. But I'm not going to carry it for you. You want to come in and act like it's not good enough for you? You keep your junk. I don't want it. God is a deliverer. He is a deliverer. He would have you to let it go, give it up, and walk lighter of load. I'm here to tell you there's churches right now where the preachers are only being paid to carry their junk. They're getting paid millions of dollars a year to just come in and say just enough to let people feel like they've been at church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. Somebody say, bless the Lord. Well, we've had church tonight. Then you hear people talk about it and say, oh, you should have been there. Brother such and such had a fit. But the fact is, brother such and such was asleep and snoring really loud. They'll advertise. I'm here to tell you that there's churches that hire paid actors. Maybe some of you don't know that big churches hire paid actors to come in and have a fit. Because here's the deal. They have vessels that can't hold God. There are churches that are not saving anyone, but just adding attendance of people that want to be in agreement to one thing. I don't want to change anything. Jesus Christ just didn't come and die for you. He did a whole lot while he was on his way to his death. He was questioned for being with the unclean. Oh, brother, I wouldn't catch myself in a bad situation. I'm here to tell you, you can't escape bad situations. There was times when Christ went out of his way to go help someone. But there was other times where he encountered a moment where somebody was at the well. He said, drink of this living water that you never thirst again. That was the kind of moment that didn't happen at temple. Am I getting this across tonight? There were moments when Christ helped people to see. He didn't have, what is this, extra virgin olive oil to anoint their eyes. He had his own saliva and dirt on the ground. He wasn't in the sanctuary. And yet the power of God restored sight. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't carry any junk. And he told, man, I feel so light. He told his disciples, don't carry scrib in the purse. Don't carry anything that would hinder you. He even said it like this. Why would you worry about food and raiment? Yeah. He didn't say, don't worry about what you're wearing or don't go around with any clothes on. He said, don't worry about what you're wearing. He said, don't worry about the food. Because you remember when we preached about the woman that had the oil that anointed Christ? They were concerned about the cost that they could have used that money for something else. And Jesus was trying to get them to say, take no thought for the morrow, what you'll eat, what you're going to partake of. Because he was trying to help them understand that the day was going to come where they were going to be faced with these worries all on their own. There are some of us tonight that wouldn't even tell anybody this, but you don't know what you're going to do about your next meal. There's some people in here tonight that have some debts that are so much bigger than what they can pay. There's people in here tonight with illness that feel like that there's no medicine or doctor or even churches at times that can even help them. But I'm here to tell you, I'm here to preach something to you provocative. I'm here to be a different kind of Christian. I'm not going to tell you just to keep living your life as you are. I'm telling you to start to take a stand against what you're dealing with. And if you're one of these broken individuals, I want you to get up on your feet right now. And if you need some help getting up, look over somebody and say, help me to my feet, because God is about to pour something out right now in this very moment. I feel the anointing of God wringing me out in my stomach. And if there's somebody that'll agree with me, God's going to pour out a blessing that she won't even be able to contain. It's time to stop doubting God and start believing that he's more than able. It's time to stop worrying about what's going to come tomorrow and to trust him with what we need. Are you a child of God? Say amen. You know what that means? You've got faith. We're about to flex our faith. Are you ready? We're going to say this first one together. Then I'm going to turn you loose and you're going to pray on your own. But are you ready? And whatever the rest of the sentence is, you fill it in. God, I believe that you are able. Fill in the blank right now. One more time. God, oh, I feel this. God, I feel agreement. Lord, I know you're able. Now you tell him what it is. I'm going to pray it over you right now. God, I believe by the faith that is agreeing in this room And by agreement, I mean that we all are believing by faith that God, you're going to heal those that are in bondage. If you need a healing, you ought to be praising him right now. To heal those that are in bondage, I'm giving you one more chance. You better turn it loose like God's got it inside of you. That you're going to heal those that are in bondage. Receive it right now. Oh, receive it. Somebody ought to be praising him. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you have children and grandchildren. I'm not doing these in any particular order. I'm just doing it how I feel it. And I want you to pray with me right now. We're going to flex our faith. Here we go. If you have something to pray, you just pray it. If you don't, you pray it with me. God, I know you see my children. And I believe that you're going to turn it around in their life. One more time. God, I believe that you're going to turn it around. Now we're going to do some spiritual warfare. Now we're going to talk to Satan. If you're not doing this at home, you are missing out. Are you ready? Satan, turn loose of my children. One more time. Satan, turn loose of my children. Now praise him because you know God's going to do it. God, we believe it. We smile, feel that for somebody. Woo! I believe it. Say, drugs and alcohol, turn loose. Drugs and alcohol, turn loose. Somebody ought to say it like they believe it. Drugs and alcohol, turn loose. Oh, oh. Now, the most important part. Are you ready? We're going to ask for ourselves. Don't get distracted. If you're getting distracted, close your eyes. This is where I want you to be. And if you don't have something to pray right now, you pray with me. I'm going to pray with you. Lord, I'm broken. And I need you to help me. I believe that you can take my broken pieces and mend me again. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody got a hold of that like they never have. And I'm thank God that I didn't let the devil cheat me out of this moment. I just felt this quicken in my spirit because somebody's back there praying it. And if it's for you, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to step into your gifts and callings. I want a greater anointing. I believe that you can make me worthy to receive them. Now you better not say this next part unless you mean it. I give you my broken pieces. If you believe that, you ought to praise him and receive what God's going to pour out right now. Lord, I believe it. I trust that you're moving for your people. You're calling us to make a difference in our community, to our young people. And Lord, let us surrender our broken pieces to you. I'll ask the praise team to come get a song. I'm going to open the altar. And while they're getting ready, I close with these last scriptures to you. I'll try to be quick. I know that you're standing, but bear in mind I've already been up 40 minutes and I'm still doing fine. Psalm 71, verse 20 and 21 says, thou which hast showed me in sore great troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Psalm 55 and 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Let me read another word in there. Let me substitute if you'll grant me the liberty. Cast thy rejection upon the Lord. Cast thy heaviness upon the Lord. Cast thy weariness upon the Lord. Cast thy sorrow upon the Lord. Cast thy trouble upon the Lord. And guess what? He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know what that means? Once you give him the pieces and he mends it, you don't have to go back. I'm sure not going back to 8 more years of drug addiction. Would you want me to go back to 8 years of drug addiction? No way. So why would we let each other let the devil take us, keep our minds from obeying him? I love you enough to be here to preach this entire weekend on something that maybe you've never heard before, to get your attention and let you know I love you enough to tell you that you don't have to go back and live the same way you lived. Somebody needs to say this to themselves. It's over. You tell that stuff, say, I'm breaking up with you. Oh, you can laugh, but you make sure you say it. I'm breaking up with you. It's over. The devil is a liar. One more verse, and Sharon, you can sing. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him. Let me substitute there. Casting all your broken pieces upon him. Why? Because what? He cares for who? Me? You too? You too? Everybody! Don't you go out another day with depression. You hear me? God sent me here for you. Don't you go out not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. God sent me here for you. If you're broken and you've been praying but you still need that peace in your heart, I'm opening the altar for you right now. I know there's at least 4 to 5 people that need a little bit more help before they go. But I'm not the kind of guy that's going to drag you. I'm not going to carry your junk for you. You've got to make a conscious choice that you want to be better. That's the first step they always tell to addicts. You first got to admit you've got a problem. Then number two, you've got to be willing enough to admit that you need help. Then number three, if you're willing to get help, you've got to go after getting help.